Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's NCAA tournament weekend. Whether you love wrestling or you love basketball, you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer in the area, without a doubt. Soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. I am a fan of the barrel pickles. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Let's get you up to date on the NCAA basketball tournament scoreboard. First of all, let's get to the finals of the day and then games that are in progress. Northern Iowa beat Wyoming 71-54. Michigan State, Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, the two seniors, big day. They beat Georgia 70-63. Kansas, no problem with New Mexico State, 75-56. Games in progress at the break. Indiana with 15 so far from Yogi Ferrell, leading Wichita State 39-36. 2:24 to go in the first half. Virginia is almost home. They lead Belmont 37-27. I said the first team to 40 would win. Virginia's 3 points away with 2:20 to go in the half. And West Virginia at the under 8 leads Buffalo 55-48 with 7:57 to go.
Buffalo has 16 turnovers in that game right now.
And I'm supposed to be stunned by that? Or?
No, but West Virginia just got to 12.
Turnovers?
Yeah.
Now, that's an impressive number for Buffalo, 12 turns. Very good. All right, today's the opening day, Penn State football spring practice. We talked to Joe Susan about Bucknell opening its spring practice. Now let's get to the Nittany Lions, who in 22 minutes will open up their spring practice, the first of 15 practices. We bring in Mike Poorman from statecollege.com. Mike, always a pleasure, my friend.
Good to be here, Steve. Quick question for you. Pro day, what's your 40 these days?
We'll see it again.
Well, today's pro day, so I was curious on what your 40 time is these days. Did you test earlier today during Haluba?
Do you want to see it again?
Good.
There's a reason, my man, I sit where I sit during the game. Where I talk about other people's 40 times. Not about my 40 time. What stock do you put in that? In you know, this is an important day for a lot of guys. I mean, Donovan Smith has attracted a lot of people, but for a guy like Deion Barnes, this is his chance to show what he can and can't do. So what are your thoughts on Penn State's pro day?
Well, you know, those are both your comments. Big Don's been like a rocket. He's going from fifth and sixth coming out. Yeah. Now he's looking second round. He's trimmed some weight. He's really shown, I think, the biggest key for Donovan since the bowl game. He's shown a day-in, day-out work ethic, and that's from folks who are working with him or knowing him. And I think that makes a huge difference. We know, you know, Don has a lot of talent, but is bringing that talent every single play. And I think that what he's done in the weight room and working out has made a big difference. I think has convinced a lot of NFL people that he can be an every-play guy.
Part of this pro day is Mike Hall, and he ran early. He ran once, decided not to run the second time. But now there's obviously the issue of replacing Mike Hall with spring practice beginning tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the linebacker situation, especially after listening to James Franklin earlier in the week?
Well, James seemed very confident, as he should. You know, there's a it may not be a cast of thousands, but it's an interesting mix of people that bring different skill sets. I mean, you got to be rooting for Ben Klein, and I know that you certainly are. I mean, he's a guy that's had a lot of hard luck, but a lot of heart. You know, Christian Hackenberg, during a little media thing during Thon. Just, you know, he used it as his own platform to campaign for Ben Klein for, it seemed like, team president. So he's had a great offseason, and there's a guy with some great skill set, a terrific mind. And I think the thing with Mike Hall, people don't realize, but certainly you do, Steve, is that, you know, his mobility, even last year, was somewhat limited. So, you know, we're finally seeing, the NFL's finally seen, starting to see Mike Hall with some speed that he had as a young guy. So the question how this relates to Ben Klein is, are we going to see Ben Klein at 100%? If we are, I think he has the leadership and the savvy to man that middle. Not that, you know, I think Naeem's made great strides. I would say he's probably the, you know, physically he's where Klein would like to be. I think those two guys together are a great middle linebacker. Only though he can play one.
Well, I think what Brad Barrs did in coming back from his Achilles, the way he played last year, is a harbinger that you can come back and have some burst, which he did, and then that's what Ben Klein's trying to come back from. Jordan Lucas goes from corner to safety. Obviously, part of this, Mike, is it opens the door to get Grant Haley on the field. What can Jordan Lucas do as a safety in your estimation? Because you and I both know that James Franklin, Bob Shoup are a great believer in the baseball philosophy, good defensively up the middle, catcher, shortstop, second, center field. They talk about two tackles, a middle linebacker, and two safeties. So your thoughts on Jordan at that spot?
Well, you're absolutely great. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's great to meet a middle linebacker. If they settle on one and they shine, that's a super middle. I think what Jordan brings in, he's a true senior, and that's hard to believe that he's already there, that he played that much as a freshman. You know, it's a little bit in the corner, a lot on special teams, but he's an older guy, and last season was a real eye season. You don't transition for Jordan from being kind of a big talker smack in your face in a fun way. He's a great kid, to really being more mature, and I think back there he's going to show that maturity. He's going to be an anchor. He's going to have the ability that his running mate back at safety does. Plus, he's a big hitter. Jordan loves to hit. I think Jordan can make it fun back there, and also help make it fun for everyone. That, you know, the defense, there's that mentality that was there last year, and I think Jordan's going to bring that even more this year.
It's interesting you talk about him being a senior, and now here it is. It's finally that moment for him. It opens the door for Grant Haley at corner. I thought James Franklin's comment on playing the corner spot with young players, I found to be fascinating when he talked about it the other day.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And when James goes into that, and I like when he goes into, you know, the position by position philosophy and the decision making. I think, you know, there's a lot of neat insight to learn there. Grant learned a lot last year. I mean, not on the field. He made some mistakes, returns. He made some mistakes. But here's the thing about Grant Haley, beyond his speed, super bright kid. His mom went to Penn State. She's a doctor. His dad went to that school at the western end of Pennsylvania. He's a doctor. He's an excellent student. He's a thoughtful guy that helps on the field, but it also helps as far as learning from his mistakes. I think we're going to see a lot fewer errors of commission rather than omission from Grant Haley this year.
Interesting. You were mentioning earlier about Jordan Lucas, and you say he can talk a little smack once in a while. He's always fun with me because at the quarterback club, I'll ask him, you know, what's your career goal? And he'll look over and he says, take your job.
You know, Steve, he means it. He means it.
I know he means it. That's why I wished him a very long pro career.
Nice of you.
Something James Franklin talked about the other day, having a two deep at every position. And when Joe was here, Joe would emphasize that a lot in the preseason. About, look, I need to develop a two deep at every spot. And that was a major emphasis for Joe Paterno when he discussed it. James Franklin's discussing that now. Is that another step where now you feel like Penn State numbers-wise has turned the corner?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's huge, and there's a couple reasons why it's huge. It's just in the daily practice. Let's say there's 10 reps. You're going to give your number one to your first team, let's say, 6 reps, and your number two is 4 reps. Well, if your number twos are never going to see the field because they're just not at that talent level where they're walk-ons, those 4 reps or even 3 reps are kind of wasted because you're preparing people who are never going to play. But you can't have your number ones do 6 or 7 or 8 reps because they'll never make it out of practice. So what was happening is practices, while they may have been long and the reps may have been as many, they were not nearly as efficient or nearly as effective. Now when you get those last 4 out of 10 reps from a number two, it's a number two guy who might end up playing. And it's a number two guy who's going against the number two guy on the other side who will probably end up playing at some point. So just in practice alone, it's a huge difference.
The other part, too, is I think you also have to practice differently when you have a lack of numbers. And I think that this is going to allow James Franklin a chance to practice more the way he wants to practice instead of maybe a couple areas here and then maybe cut that period a little bit here, cut that period a little bit there because you're worried about guys getting banged up.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right. And, yeah, I mean, he had to do a lot of finessings and certainly, you know, Bill did too. I think we're going to see it as in special teams. So I think they're going to spend more time on live or semi-live special teams where you're not going to have a number one being on 2 or 3 or 4 special teams and they can't do the running, they can't do the hitting, they can't do the on-the-field repetition because of all their other duties and because of fatigue. And now you're looking at number twos and new guys who will step up and play more of a special teams role, and those can be more of game-type situations in practice.
Are you anxious to see Christian Hackenberg now with a set of receivers that appear to be growing with him?
Yeah, you know, I think we're really going to see a huge difference, see a huge difference between the end of spring practice and the beginning of the summer practice. Mm-hmm. That's where all the reps are going to be. There's going to be continued reps during spring ball, but where they're really going to get to know each other, and they're only beginning there. I think Deshaun and Christian are on the same page because right. They've had that extra year together. Mm-hmm. But even with that, Deshaun just had the one season because of his wrist injury. So I think most of all, the most impressive thing that we might see out of Christian this spring, two things, is I think he's going to have more time even in drills to throw the ball, but I think we're going to see him go through his progressions faster because he's going to have the time to do that and the confidence that he will have the time to do that rather than going to the second receiver, tuck it in. I think we're going to see much more going to the second receiver. And I think we're going to see him maybe not a ton of planned runs, but I think we're going to see a little bit more mobile Christian Hackenberg this year.
He's 4.72 in the 40, which is, for a man his size, amazing number.
You know what's incredible, Steve, is you look back, and he's the same size Shane Conlon was when he was in college.
Exactly. Finally, on your checklist between now and April 18th, what 2 or 3 things would be on your checklist that would interest you to see if there's improvement?
I think running back. And you mentioned the receivers and the offensive line. Running back, Akil was the only guy who's carried the ball. And he carried a lot the second half of the season, but with not total effectiveness. He averaged just a little over 4 yards a carry the second half of the season. And, yes, a lot of that's on the offensive line. But I think for Akil to be consistent, not just carrying the ball, as you know, the little things, when he's the dump guy going out and even running, it's when you float out there off into the flat, there's a way that you float off the flat. If you need to cross over when you're in blocking, you have to go from the right to the left. There's a way to do that. And those small nuances will make a huge difference because still with the young guys, Akil's the guy that's going to have to make the difference with those nuances. The freshmen really have not played, and so they're not really sure how they're going to do with that. Akil's a guy that really has to be able to make those things happen.
Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for being with us today. I know the audience and, of course, especially me, appreciate it very much.
Thanks a bunch, buddy. Work on that shuttle run, would you?
I'm trying to, and everyone knows that. I mean, if I do a shuttle run, that's called an accident.
See you, Steve. Bye-bye.
See you. Mike Foreman, staycollege.com. We will come back with more in a moment. We'll update the tournament scoreboard. I'm doing an extra long outro here, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, because that allows Kevin, who's been pacing back and forth watching the Buffalo West Virginia game, to now be seated and take us to this break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Remember, every day is Hyundai?
Hyundai.
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai.
The Lease We Can Do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
Hyundai,
in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due at signing with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing tax included. See dealer for complete details.
Louisville's losing. Cal Irvine is beating Louisville. 3-2. 17-40 to go.
I was
going to
say, didn't that one just start?
It's now 6-2. Cal Irvine.
Oh, Anteaters look
rolling.
Out. Look out.
They might have enough now. All right.
I noticed you haven't mentioned the Buffalo score.
Wichita State now leads Indiana 48-47. Fred Van Fleet has 21. Buffalo and West Virginia with 3:41 to play leads 60-56 at Nationwide in Columbus. At the half, Virginia 13-40. They got there. They lead 40-32 over Belmont earlier today. Kansas won big. Michigan State won by 7. And Northern Iowa won big over Wyoming. So you are now up to date on the scoreboard.
West Virginia is frozen cold right now. They were 7 of 9 to start the half, 1 of 10 recently, and they're shooting about 45% from the line. And both teams are in the double bonus, and they have been since about the 10-minute mark of this game. Mm. That's how many fouls.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear is the bear part is correct, but he's not huggable right now.
No. Well, this is the for Bobby Hurley. You know, you think he's going to be the coach of Buffalo next year? Really?
Are you saying there's a stepping stone here?
Oh, he's the flavor of the month. Everybody's going, hey, yeah. So, a lot of people fall into that category.
He's a little grayer, though, than when he played in the NCAA tournament last.
Well, they all are. I mean, Bobby Hurley's in
it. It doesn't seem that long ago to me, though. That's the problem.
He's in his 40s.
I realize that, but it doesn't seem that long ago to me.
Do you realize the 1991 championship was 24 years ago?
Thank you for reminding me, because Bobby Hurley and I are right around the same age.
Yes, now we can start talking about the success that the two of you have attained in life to get to this point.
He's at Buffalo? I'm not.
This goes back to the love shown by the 4th and 5th graders at Mifflinburg Elementary today. You are their broadcast hero.
I highly doubt that. I believe Joe Susan might have been stretching a little bit there. But I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
I've always been somewhat taking Joe at his word. Wichita State now leads 50-47 over Indiana with under 14 to play. So, and Virginia still has an 8-point halftime lead.
They do not this have it. It's an 8-point.
Huh?
Oh, you said Virginia. Sorry.
Yes, they lead Belmont 40-32.
I don't care about Belmont and Virginia. I'm focused on another Virginia, a West Virginia school.
In the school I went to, 40-32 is 8.
Oh, 2-point game. Buffalo just scored. 2-point game.
Well,
Big Mo.
Parade.
Big Mo is now with the Bulls.
Well, that's where Juwan State takes over. All right.
Oh, that might be two and a foul.
Yeah, it was, because it's 60-59 now. He made the free throw.
Well, not real well. I just saw it. It was not a pretty free throw, but it did roll through.
Am I ruining the game for you?
You are. Stop being 5 seconds ahead of the video. It's like watching a Penn State game and listening to you guys call it. I know what's happening before I see it.
West Virginia by 3. It's 2:50
left. Stop it!
What?
I realize it's not your fault when you call a Penn State game and you're a few seconds ahead of the TV, but you don't have to do it now.
Three-pointer ties the game by Buffalo, 62-62.
I haven't seen it yet. I'll let you know.
Well, I can already tell you it happened. Final half hour, we're going to hear from Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. The Troy Watch continues.
Bang! Hits the three!
Yeah, I already told the audience that.
Hate delays.
Oh, I'm not delayed. I'm fine here.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's get everybody up to date. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket stock up for the weekend. You've got wrestling, basketball. It's a great weekend. Oh, lots and lots of action. NCAA championships on the line. Advancing in the tournament on the line. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Brewers Outlet is the best selection of beer anywhere. On top of that, they have snacks, they have soft drinks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. The variety is, I get knocked out every time I see the variety that they have there. It's unbelievable. Love the barrel pickles, but just tremendous. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. That's, again, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. NCAA tournament scoreboard. Let's get you up to date. First of all, the game of the day is West Virginia with a minute remaining, 102 remaining, leading Buffalo 64-62 at Nationwide Arena. Transition out to Omaha, where Wichita State and Indiana tied at 54 with 10:24 to go. Fred Van Fleet, the outstanding point guard for Wichita State, has 25 in that game. Yogi Ferrell has 17 for Indiana. Let's see. Virginia leads Belmont 44-36 with 17:48 to go in that game down at the Time Warner Center in Charlotte. Brogdon has 16 so far for Virginia, and Bradshaw has 10 for Belmont. And Louisville leads Cal Irvine 11-10. Morrell is 4 so far early. 11-10, Louisville leads it with 12:04 to go first half at Key Arena in Seattle. All right, time now to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, for the weekly Troy Polamalu Watch. Tony, welcome. It is great to have you back on the show.
The best get-togethers.
Always happy to spend a Friday talking sports, Steve. You know that.
Yes, sir. The Roethlisberger deal, there are very few franchise quarterbacks don't fall out of trees. Steelers knew they had to do this. In the end, was it a good deal for both sides?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, it's certainly hard to look at a $99 million contract and say it's not a good deal for Ben Roethlisberger. Is it below what he maybe could have got? Yeah, probably a little bit. But at the same time, I think it's a fair deal for both sides. It's going to reduce his cap hit this year by quite a bit, which will enable them to, you know, to do some things here. Most likely, you know, sign some other guys to some extensions, perhaps. But they'll probably peek around in free agency a little bit, and frankly, it opens them up, you know, next year as well to at least have some freedom in the offseason. They're obviously not a team that throws big contracts at free agents, but it does give them wiggle room to do, you know, to do some things that they might feel like they need to do. And I think what you said at the outset, Steve, is exactly it. I mean, the franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. I think Ben Roethlisberger is coming off probably his best season. You know, honestly, as a, you know, he can't do some of the things he used to do as far as his mobility and so forth, and that goes along with the territory of being 33 years old. But if they can keep him upright behind the good offensive line, which they have, they've changed the offense with the idea of keeping him upright more often. And you know, it's frankly gone better and better and better each season under Todd Haley, and they're coming off their best season together. So you know, offense is not the issue right now. They've got a very young and a very capable offense. They need to just see if they can get the defense to, you know, catch up to the offense, and I think they will have a chance to make some noise over the next couple of seasons.
And the Steelers were represented here yesterday at Penn State's Pro Day when Mike Munchak, the former Nittany Lion, showed up on campus to take a look at some of the prospects. Now, D'Angelo Williams, they sign him. Tony, I like the fit very much. I think you've got to have somebody that knows what their role is and can carry it for a couple games and understand where they fit. I think this works.
I think you said it perfectly. You know, again, I think the issue with D'Angelo Williams is really has always been injury, even before right. He's gotten, you know, he's been around quite a while. He's got a lot of miles on him. But they're going to need someone probably to play the first two games in place of Le'Veon Bell. So, you know, D'Angelo Williams is probably going to, you know, you're not going to have to worry about injury as much in the first two games of the season, probably. So if they can get those two games out of him and then see if they can keep him healthy and use him in a limited role the rest of the way, that's a, you know, I think it's a great sign. He has to be healthy, obviously. If he's on the shelf for the first two games, it's not going to help him very much. But I think it's a good fit. Le'Veon Bell is going to carry the bulk of that load as long as he stays healthy. But, yeah, I think they needed a veteran backup, and they got one who, like you said, understands his role. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he is a very good fit. And, again, the key will be keeping him healthy. But you know what? When you talk about the game of football, you know, anybody can get hurt at any time. So, you know, that's always a risk for anybody. But again, the fact that they need him early in the season, I do think that bodes well for the signing. So, you know, I think it's a nice fit. And you know, again, he's a guy who certainly understands his role, and you know, isn't going to be overwhelmed by anything. He's played in big games for quite a long time.
I think in the off season, certain teams have had interesting off seasons. Philadelphia's made a lot of moves. I think they're better. Buffalo's made a lot of moves. I think they might be better. A team like Green Bay, for example, re-signed Brian Bulaga, re-signed Randall Cobb,
yep,
just by re-signing their own guys.
Right.
They've had a great offseason.
I agree 100%.
Right. A.J. Hawk, doesn't matter if he goes to Cincinnati. I've really felt he's developed into really a starter who's more of a middle-of-the-road player. Have the Steelers, in your estimation, had a good offseason in part because of the Roethlisberger signing and then getting Williams?
Yeah, I think so. I think that fills, you know, that adds to two of their strengths, let's put it that way. You know, I think obviously the things that they need the most are going to be on defense. And unless they surprise us here, I guess they're going to go into the draft with the idea of getting a cornerback and a pass rusher that can help them. I think they can do one of those things. I think it's realistic to, you know, to be able to go into the draft and accomplish one of those things. Accomplishing both, to me, that's going to be difficult to do. That's really hitting the jackpot. It can happen. It's happened in the past for teams. It's happened in the past for the Steelers. But I would give them positive grades in the offseason. But again, their two biggest weaknesses are still on the defensive side of the ball, somebody who can get to the quarterback and somebody who can help out if they can't get to the quarterback, somebody who can cover.
All right. Well, hate to go down this road, but we might as well anyway. They've been obviously, everyone's sitting around waiting to see white smoke on Troy Polamalu, so how's that going?
White smoke. That's a fantastic analogy. And, yeah, I guess that's what we're waiting for. I just can't see Troy Polamalu playing another year. I think eventually he's going to have to come to that, you know, to that realization. You know, but again, how many times have we seen, you know, Ed Reed is probably the perfect example. Right. He's really a contemporary to him.
Sure he is.
And, you know, you hate to see that happen. You hate to see Troy Polamalu put on a Chargers uniform, play six games, get injured, and then get released. I mean, but to me, that's where Troy Polamalu is in his career. You'd love to see him have that nice big retirement and get honored in Pittsburgh and all that stuff. That'll happen sooner or later, whether it happens this offseason or three offseasons from now, who knows. But they're a better team without Troy Polamalu, and as much as you hate to say that, at some point that statement's true for everybody, whether you've been great or not. You're not great forever, and his greatness has really declined more and more and more every season.
Penn State just renewed extended the contract of Patrick Chambers through 2019. His team won 16 last year, won 18 this year. Jamie Dixon's done a marvelous job at Pitt. Yet you look at the last 3 years, and it's not the same as it was in the previous 7 or 8 years under Jamie Dixon. Where is the Pitt program right now in your estimation after that NIT loss to GW?
You know, I think you said it exactly. It's not the same. It's a good program. You know, Steve, he's missed the tournament twice in his 12-year career. Two of those misses are in the last 4 years,
right.
However. He's had two sub-500 conference seasons in the past 4 years. So yeah, you know, there was a time 6 years ago when they were a number one ranked team. He went into the NCAA tournament as a number one seed twice. You know, there was a time when people used to get frustrated because he didn't get past the Sweet 16 enough.
Right.
Well, you know, those days, you know, if you know, they get to the tournament now, that's become a positive thing. So they are certainly in a period of transition. I do think that, and I'm guilty of this too, I think maybe we expected the transition to the ACC to be a smooth one,
right.
And he has struggled. I think especially recruiting the kind of players, especially in the backcourt, who fit in the ACC. They're stuck with Big East, you know, old-school Big East-style guards, the bulldog types, the guys who are not as fast or not as athletic. And when you look at their opponents, Pitt's guards are usually the least athletic pair of guards on the floor most games. I think that's where their biggest issue is. Jamie's trying to recruit ACC-style guards and having a hard time doing it. And I think that has been the biggest problem. Can he do it? You know, I think time will tell. They've got five sophomores on this past team who were big contributors, only lose one guy. So the future, you know, is promising, but at the same time, there are just as many serious concerns. Fans are getting restless about Dixon. I don't think that seat is hot. I think that the Pitt basketball program is a little bit smarter than to make Jamie Dixon's seat hot right now. But the next couple of years will be very telling because there's no question they're going through a transition. And I guess only time will tell whether they come out of it as a good program or as a mediocre run-of-the-mill program, because, quite frankly, that's what they've been the past four seasons.
Tony, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, Steve. Thank you.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll come back, update the tournament scoreboard in a moment. Are you okay? Are you all right?
Yeah. That was a big three-pointer they hit with about 30 seconds to go for West Virginia.
Buffalo?
Kind of put the nail in the coffin. Gone.
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 Bobby Hurley? Gone.
You don't think you'll be with Buffalo
back
next year? Is that what you're saying?
No. Look, you got so many quick fix guys out there. Look, he's a hot name. Bring him in. It's like, oh, God. Is there a school for athletic directors? I'm going to make my mark. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Bobby Hurley and company go down to West Virginia, 68-62. You talk about hot young coaches and so forth, but part of this is that, you know, he's done a great job coaching them, but for example, I think what Bearden starts for them, right? And so does and Evans. Those are the only two guys in the starting lineup he recruited. He didn't recruit Will Reagan. He didn't recruit Justin Moss. Yeah, there's a little more to this than just, you know, how they line up. I mean, he does a great job coaching them, but there's a lot more to this. I mean, who'd you bring in? And when you look at what they've done this year, Bearden's a really good player, freshman. Now, he recruited him, right? Had a really good year. Evans, he's one of his first recruits, 15 points a game, really good. But he didn't recruit Moss, who's his leading scorer. He didn't recruit him. Skeet, didn't recruit him. All right, Reagan, didn't recruit him. And I see my point here? There's a lot more to when you're looking at getting somebody as to whether they can coach or not. There have been many coaches that have inherited someone else's talent and won. I mean, we watched Ralph Friedgen inherit Ron Vanderlinden's talent at Maryland, and he won. That was really his only really huge year. Right? There's a lot more to this. I just want to point. I think he has a chance to be a really good coach, but there's a lot more that you have to look into with somebody than whether or not they can coach the game. Now, he's done a good job with this program. They lost today, but they put up a good fight, and they had Kevin completely convinced that this was the moment in time. And Kevin was humming "One Shining Moment" around the office all day.
Fortunately, I only had them going one more, going and winning that one, and that was it.
4:20 to play. Wichita State leads Indiana. Good game, 60-55 in Omaha. Fred Van Fleet having a huge day with 27. Yogi Ferrell has 19 for Indiana.
Yeah, but he struggled in the second half. I think he's only one of four in the second half.
Well, Yogi? That's Yogi. I've seen Yogi play that way many a time. Virginia leads Belmont 51-46, 11:15 to go. Brogdon at 16 in halftime. He's still got 16. Anteaters of Cal Irvine lead Louisville 21-18, 5:44 to go first half. Finals from today. Kansas pounded New Mexico State 75-56. It never really was close. Mason at 17. Denzel Valentine at 16. Michigan State beat Georgia 70-63. Built up a first half lead, never relinquished it. Northern Iowa had no problem today. They beat Wyoming 71-54, and it was Paul Jesperson who stepped up today, who had 16 points for the Panthers, and also in that one, 9 rebounds for the outstanding Seth Tuttle. And West Virginia was a winner today over Buffalo by a score of 68-62. There is your afternoon action.
I only have one more upset possible, on legitimate upset, that I have on my sheet for the first round, and that's Dayton over Providence.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, Dayton has momentum. They won that game the other night dramatically. They didn't play well. Dayton did not play well. A lot of ways, Boise outplayed them. I think home court played a huge role in them getting to this spot. I think if that game is played on a neutral floor or if the game is played at Boise, Dayton doesn't win. But they did win, and now they've got Providence today. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up now. It's a huge weekend. Huge. Yeah, snow's out there. So just stock up. Yeah, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is unbelievable. And so is their selection of beer. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11-15, Hummel's Wharf. Wrestling, it's not a great day for Penn State. Yes, Jimmy Gulabon and Matt Brown advanced to the semifinals, but everybody else lost. McCutcheon lost today. Morgan McIntosh lost today. Lawson lost today. They're in the consolations. Conaway stayed alive in consolations. Bites is out. Penn State's currently ninth at the moment.
And Spencer Myers, who beat Stolfi from Bucknell last night with a pin in overtime, lost today 2-1. And Stolfi ended up injury defaulting in the wrestlebacks from an injury from Thursday. So he's done for Bucknell. Yeah.
So all that's going on right now as we speak. Next session coming up tonight in St. Louis at the Scott Trade Center. And it's been mixed results for Penn State so far. They only have two guys that can possibly be champions. And then, of course, the highly heralded on this end of the microphone, Mitchell Port, and verbally steamrolled by Kevin last year on the show, is still alive in the semifinals at 141, which, of course, is dominated by Logan Stieber of Ohio State.
The fighting Scott from Belfont, Mitchell Port.
Is this your way of making up to him? Because, I mean, last year...
Just acknowledging.
He could not, in your estimation, could not carry Zane Rutherford's luggage.
I did not say that. I don't even think I inferred that. I just said that the schedule is a little bit different between the two schools.
You weren't very kind. No. He actually wrestled Stieber this year. Stieber beat him 6-3. It's the only loss Port had all season long in that week schedule he wrestled.
No, wait a minute. You mean in a dual meet? Because he lost to... that was the team that lost in that one. Sorry, I forgot. I was thinking the team lost to Cornell in the grapple at the Garden, but sorry, that was not an individual loss necessarily. That's a really cool heartbeat you got there. Do you have your stethoscope on?
Yay. Sometimes I got to, like, right in the top of your head, dink.
Hey, I just talked to Jeff Byers every single day.
On behalf of the station, we're hoping for one.
I was about to say I'm hoping that there will be one somewhere along the line. But every single day is just asking a lot, you know.
Unheralded signing in the free agent segment. And I found this to be an interesting one, was Colt McCoy re-signing with the Redskins. Very unheralded. I don't think they did that for laughs. 3 to play. Wichita State leads Indiana 72-68. Enjoy the games, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the shows all week. What, 13 guests in 5 days?
Not bad.
13 guests in 5 days. I'm going to football practice. I'll talk to you.